16, as you're reading for the next couple of weeks, just meditate on it, chew on it, see what God is saying through it. I guarantee you, it will be so helpful in the way that you show God's love to others. And that in the end, what the one another's are. They are ways that we show that love which we are called to do for one another. They are the ways that we show this great commandment which we're given to love God and love others. And so I'm pretty sure that you might guess which one we're speaking about this morning if you look behind me at all during the morning. And so I wanted to encourage you with some words this morning as I found them on the internet. They are words, but then they will have something else written with them. And I'll have to read that to you because they haven't come up large enough. But I'm sure you'll be encouraged by them. Here we go. Change! It's a short trip from riding the waves of change to being torn apart by the jaws of defeat. Isn't that encouraging when you talk about change? Isn't that what we want to do? What about this one? Ambition! The journey of 1,000 miles sometimes ends very, very badly. Adversity. That which does not kill me just postpones the inevitable, actually. Aren't you encouraged? Agony. Not all pain is gain. I like that one. Actually, I did think of my children when I thought of that one. Probably shouldn't say that out loud, but you know, that would be Jacob, because I think Zoe's stronger than Jacob. Okay. Dysfunction. This is encouraging. The only consistent feature of all your dissatisfying relationships is you. Oh, hang on. Isn't that everyone else? Is that what? I'm encouraged. But this is how we quite often do encouragement in Australia, right? We make a joke about it. We sort of try to shift things and we have this playfulness and sometimes, you hear between Sam and myself sometimes, this playfulness that happens. And we sort of encourage, but we sort of don't. And we sort of have this idea that quite often in Australia, and I think it's true that the tall poppy syndrome thing is quite true for a lot of people. But something disturbing that I have seen and that I was thinking about is the amount of people I speak with who don't feel encouraged. So they actually feel discouraged. And what disturbs me most of all is as I engage with people both within and beyond the church, more often than not, do you know who the people who appear to be the most discouraged are? The people in the church. And I think, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Now, I'm unsure if it's because others don't share as deeply, or perhaps there's some higher standards that some of us have than others. But this seems to be the case to me. So there's not data that has been done by, you know, Gallup or anything like this. It's just my interactions with people. So let me ask you this question. And I'm going to ask you to share with the person around you or beside you. And if you don't know that person, you might need to say good day. Just really quickly. When was the last time you were encouraged by someone from either this church or from another church? When was the last time you were encouraged by someone from either this church or from another church? Quickly, quickly, quickly. You shouldn't have to think too hard, surely. Quickly share that with the person beside you. All right, who's been encouraged in the last week? Last week? Last 2 weeks? Last month? Last year? Okay, next question, really quickly. Share with the person beside you the last time you genuinely encouraged somebody else from either this church or from another church. Go. Okay. Can I just say, it might just be me, but that wasn't as loud and as vibrant as the time before, just quietly. Wasn't as loud as vibrant as the time before when I had been encouraged. Now I actually suspect that many of us have been encouraged, but we haven't heard that because we haven't been encouraged in the way that we like to be encouraged. I also suspect that some of us, unless we are encouraged constantly, then they think encouragement doesn't happen. Either way, this idea of encouragement is actually critical in our lives together as a body of Christ. Before I talk about what biblical encouragement is, I want to help make some suggestions about what encouragement isn't. Encouragement is not flattery. That is not biblical encouragement. Flattery is, you know, this excessive or insincere praise. Flattery is quite often we say things to people to be nice in order to get them to like us or do things for us or to manipulate them. I'm sure none of you know what I'm talking about. One guy says, his name's Thomas Fuller, and I'm not sure, this is pretty harsh. He says, as a wolf is like a dog, so is a flatterer like a friend. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Flattery is a wolf, not a friend. Encouraging one another is not flattery. And neither is it motivational sayings. Now, why are you laughing? Because we've all heard them, right? Who's ever had a motivational saying going, oh yeah, I'm in? And for about an hour, you feel better about yourself. Anyone? I've been accused of giving people motivational sayings. Here's one about motivation. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Isn't that a beautiful picture? This one says motivation. If a pretty poster and a cute saying are all it takes to motivate you, you probably have a very easy job. The kind robots will be doing soon. Biblical encouragement is not about motivating people. It's far from it. It's not about sprouting motivational platitudes. It's much deeper and stronger. There's no fluff about it. It's not flattery. It is grip. It is gritty. It is deep. It is meaningful. And Mark's going to come and read our scripture reading this morning. I forgot to grab a mic, so Fraser. This is Kate's mic. Now, whilst Marg's a wonderful singer, she's going to speak in a speaking voice, not a singing voice. Right? So you have to hold it nice and close. Thank you.
Our first reading this morning is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 to 11. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And the second reading is from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This encourage one another. found in both these scriptures is the word parakaleo. So we understand that's a Greek word, and I've said it with an Australian accent. Parakaleo. And it literally means to invite or to invoke or to call out from alongside of someone. So when Paul says for us to parakaleo one another, he's saying invite, invoke, call, bring up, speak out deep faith and courage and strength in Christ into another. The call to encourage biblically means to call up. To call up. We're to call out the best in others. When people are struggling, we don't just leave them in pity. At the right time, we help them to remember the God who has worked in their lives before and promises to be in their life now and promises to work in their life in the future. It's speaking God's hope and plan for them both now and later. It's not just saying, you did a nice job. It's not just saying, oh, I love your shoes, Vicky. That's flattery. Although I do love your shoes, sweetheart. Especially on Valentine's Day. It's not just saying you spoke well or you sang well, whatever it is. It's not saying stupidly sensational things like you'll be the next Billy Graham or the next Darlene Check or whatever it might be. It's not these things. It's this. Richard, I see Jesus in you. When you serve those people out of that centre, those people when you help them writing, all those, I see Jesus in you the way you serve them. That is Christ in you. And you are helping them to discover God's love through your service. It's saying, hey, Jenny, in the work that you do, even though you're not working for the church, you are helping people as an OT. You are helping them find life and freedom. And you're helping them, even though they may not know it, what you're doing is helping the kingdom of God be made present. It's saying, Marg, when you lead a group of young ladies in your faith life group, even though you might not feel like you're making a big difference sometimes, you are doing an absolutely wonderful thing because you're saying to them, it's okay to be a mum. It's okay to do this stuff. How does your faith and everything interact in that? And you're actually helping point them towards Christ. Do you hear the difference between that and saying, I love your shoes, Marg? There's a big difference because we're calling up that which God has placed within people to help His kingdom become established. It's saying God is and can use you to bring life and hope to others. Now, encouragement or encouraging one another, I believe, is at the heart of the Christian community. You heard me say this a couple of weeks ago. We're an Acts 2 church. That is, we're founded at the giving of the Spirit at Pentecost. So as I like to say to every Uniting Church I've ever helped to lead, we are a Pentecostal church. Hang on, let's try it again. Thanks, Fraser. Could you say what I'm hoping you say? We're a Pentecostal church. There we are. We don't act that way, I know. But when we talk about Pentecostal church, it is a gift of the Spirit. The word for the Spirit, I understand the Spirit, that word is paraclete. And guess what the root of that is? Parakaleo. So paraclete, the Spirit, is a champion of parakaleo. Jesus said, I will send the comforter, the encourager to you. And so the Holy Spirit does this. And then the Holy Spirit comforts and encourages and is the one who calls and advocates on our behalf and counsels us to our best self in Christ. Can I just be clear on that? Our best self in Christ, not just what we think is our best, but the best of who we are as Christ has called us and made us. The Holy Spirit does this. The Holy Spirit is always calling us, always parakaleing you to your best self. And we see this throughout Scripture. We see this throughout Scripture. Names are important in the Bible. Not so much these days, but even in the past. So if you were the baker in a town in the past, quite often your last name might have been Baker. Okay, if your last name was Smith, there's a good chance that you might have been the town's blacksmith. If your last name was Plumber, just kidding. Names are important. They certainly were in the Bible. They certainly were in those days. I mean, my name, just out of interest, anyone know what my name means? Glen, let's say Glen. I mean, small valley. Just can't believe it. Change my name. But Jesus, we see God at work in people's lives calling them up. When Jesus comes to Simon, son of Judah, and he says, "Who do you say I am, Simon, son of Judah?" Jonah, not Judah. What does he say? He says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "You have, this has been revealed to you. And now you will be called Peter. And on you I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Jesus is calling Peter up here. And he's saying, here's a potential in you. Here's a potential. This is who you were known as. Now this is who you are. This is who you are. And friends, in my mind anyway, you're all part of that foundation. Every one of you is helping to build the church, build Christ's kingdom here through the church. Every single one of you. Think of it this way. Once you were called sinner, but what are you known now as? Thank you. We did this. We've done this a couple of times. You were known as sinner, now you are saint. That's why Paul doesn't write to the sinners in Ephesus. He writes to the saints. You are a new creation. You have a new name. God has called you up. You are more significant than you realize. And sometimes you just need someone to tell you that. We see it again with Jacob. God and Jacob. I mean, who knows what the word Jacob means? Yeah, supplanter, deceiver, wrestle. That's right. There's another name that we like because my son's name's Jacob, and that's like God protects. But anyway, Jacob in Genesis was sneaky, wasn't he? What did Jacob do? Okay, this is Bible, this is Sunday School 101. What did Jacob do? Stole his brother's birthright. He was sneaky. He was a deceiver. And a lot happens in his life, and he goes away and he comes back and he wrestles with God, and God does something amazing. God calls him up after they've wrestled and he says, "You are no longer known as Jacob, you will now be known as Israel," which means prince with God. And he says, "Through you I am going to do all these things." And we see it time and time again. Abram became Abraham. Time and time again. And in our New Testament understanding, we recognize that we are a new creation. You were this and now you are this. And you have been called up by Jesus. Man, change my name. And we are all called to parakaleo each other. To call each other up. To be the best we are in Christ. We're to encourage one another, not for settling for mediocrity in our faith. We're called not to settle for mediocrity, but to push towards this courageous faith. I look around here and I think of how many, Denise is doing it at the moment. Denise doesn't know I'm going to say this, but Denise is calling us up at the moment. Denise is calling some of us to begin to pray for healing for the sick. Denise is parakaleoing. Oh, I can't get it now. Parakaleoing us. And so many others do that. All those teachers that are down with KOS at the moment, you know what they're doing? They're calling the kids up. They're investing in their lives. You know, I am so glad that when I was 16 years of age, that a lady from my church then parakaleoed me. She says, "I see some potential in you. You are this person. I could see you doing this." And I was leading worship when I was 16 years of age. Now, I could talk my way out of most things at that age. So I had that gift, I suppose. I wasn't the greatest singer. I wasn't the most mature person in faith. But this person saw something and parakaleoed me. I'm so thankful for that lady. And it wasn't just her, there was others. And many of you have a similar story, right? Someone has seen something in you and they have called you up. The greatest parakaleo in my life is part of my testimony. You've heard some of this before. At Garden City Church one night, there was a guest speaker. I knew that God, it was a long, long story. To cut it short, I wanted the guy that was speaking and had 300 people to pray for me. And he didn't, and somebody else did. And God parakaleoed me. Because God laid out a whole lot of stuff, which I look back and I go, I've seen this becoming true. Two of the funniest things, or one of the funniest things is, and this is back in 1999, you will study for many years. And if anybody knows, I'm just about finished my study. Hopefully by July I'll be done, out, finished. But do you hear the power of that? Do you hear the power of someone encouraging someone else, calling out God's best in them? I'm so glad. And that is what we need to do with each other. I chose Richard, I chose Mark, I chose a few people, but I know that many of you here could do that. You know the greatest place to do this? With your kids. Doesn't matter how old they are. With your kids. You think about it. If you didn't parakaleo them, if you didn't encourage them when they fell off the bike the first time, what do you think would have happened? Well, they might have got back on. They might be resilient. My daughter used to jump off her bike. She didn't just fall. She used to jump and throw the bike. The same is true for us. And as we read last week in Ephesians, so that you may not be tossed around like infants, but grow into maturity. That's the first thing with encouragement. The call to encouragement is to call up. But there's another. Let me read to you from Hebrews. We had this a couple of weeks ago. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Encouraging one another means that we call up. It also means that we turn up. We turn up so that we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And quite often, unless we're turning up to something, we don't get that encouragement. It takes time and investment, but an investment of time is really, really important. Let me say this. Turning up on a Sunday is important, I think. If nothing else, so that you might be encouraged or hear a different perspective on your reading and unpacking of Scripture during your week. But sometimes when people have come to me in the past and they say, I just feel very down, or I don't feel encouraged, that's not the words they're using, but that's the words they're saying, or I'm not sensing God, the first thing I ask is this. Who knows what the first thing I'm going to say is when you say, I don't sense God or whatever have you? Anyone know? Are you reading Scripture? Are you not reading, engaging with it? You know what the second thing is? Who are you connected with? Who are you connected with? Who are you connected with? Because we were never meant to do this alone. And you know the stories. You know this example. There's nothing better than having a good fire, especially with a risk assessment. I don't know why I looked at you then, because that's offensive, isn't it, Jenny? It's not yet. You know, there's nothing better. And you know when the fire burns down, you've got the coals. Who knows if that's the best time to roast marshmallows? It's not when the fire is up and high. It's when the coals, and they're all red, and they're all together. And you know well as I do that when you get rid of one coal, if one coal gets moved out to the side, what happens to it? It just doesn't glow forever, does it? Because it's not working off the warmth of the others. Or perhaps if you've ever been a Boy Scout, you would understand that having a rope with three twines is far better than just two, because the two unravels just too easily. Or a Girl Scout. Girl Guide, that's what they're called, right? And the same is true for us. If you're not feeling encouraged, if you're not feeling alive in faith, then the other question I need to ask you is, who are you connecting with so that you may be encouraged, so that you may sense this aliveness in Christ. We talk about it here, faith life groups, or I mentioned a couple of weeks ago a new thing that we're looking at doing, small groups of either three guys or three girls that meet together. I have to tell you, they are life-changing. You get in the right group or find the right group of people, and not every group works, but you find the right people, and you are putting yourself in a position to actually be encouraged. Don't be surprised if you're in that place where you have someone to call up and call out God in you, that you are built up. When we stoke the fire of each other, when we speak God and God's plan and purposes, and God's, how we see God at work in you, we are encouraged and built up. See, I think we're not called to be thermometers. I think we're called to be thermostats. Do you understand the difference? What does a thermometer do? It measures the temperature. What does a thermostat do? Controls the temperature. We are called to raise the spiritual temperature within our own Christian community, to see God at work here, but also beyond. It's not just about one another here. We call up and turn up, we're built up so that we can do the same with others in our workplace. Now that might look very different, a conversation that I might have with Vicky in our life group, than it might with Vicky in her work group. She might not actually say, "I see Jesus in you," because I'll say, "Hmm." But she can talk about love and mercy and serving and all those sorts of things. We're to raise a spiritual temperature in our community. And when I say that, not raise the heat on judgment, because quite often the church is known for what we judge as to be bad rather than what we think is great. Not to raise a temperature on you're out and we're in, and so we're better than you. Not to raise a temperature on negativity, but to raise the temperature and pointing to Christ and His kingdom. I mean, how good is it when you're a part of a group of people where you encourage one another and build each other up? And we see it all the time in businesses, don't we? A business says, "This is what we want to achieve." And they'll go in and they'll do things together. They'll encourage each other. They'll work out issues, but they'll keep pushing each other towards the goal. We see it on the sporting field. If you've ever been a part of a team, a successful team, but a team, you'll know that not everyone's as good as each other and everyone has different skill sets, but you encourage them in the way that you can. Right? The greatest place that I've found encouragement is not on a Sunday morning. It's just not. The greatest place in my walk, my faith walk, has been when I've been in small groups, a faith life group, or in a relationship with another person. Because that's where we get to interact in a real way and a deep way, where we are known, when we know others and we can be known. This call to biblical encouragement is to call up, to turn up, to be built up. And we have a choice whether we'll be a part of this or not. And I have to tell you, it's great. Not about stroking egos. It's about building one another up in Christ. But we have a choice whether we'll give ourselves to that or not. We tell you a story about a couple of farmers who both grew corn and they lived on adjacent properties. And she was really positive. She's a very positive woman. And each day the sun would come up and she would say, "Thank you, God, for this morning." Whereas the guy who was not so positive would say, "Good God, it's morning." And then during the day the sun would come out from behind the cloud and the lady would say, "Thank you, God, for this wonderful sun. Thank you that it's bringing warmth. Thank you that through some processes with the sun things will grow." Whereas the woman would say, "Oh, no." Sorry, the guy would say, "Oh, no. The corn's going to get burnt. Now I need to put up a shade cloth." It rained and the woman would be, thanks God for watering these crops, it's just what they needed. And the man would say, oh my goodness, if it keeps raining, I'm going to need flood insurance. There's more things for me to pay for. So with a desire to encourage this man, the lady farmer bought a dog and taught this dog all kinds of tricks, very cool tricks. And knowing full well that they were different people and could agitate each other with different outlooks on life, she finally said, look, can I come over? I'm going to bring my dog. She brought the dog over and she showed him all these tricks. And for the final trick, the finale, she grabbed a stick and she threw it out in the dam, and the dog ran out in the dam and ran on the water, picked up the stick, ran on the water all the way back, dropped it at the man's feet, and she said, so, there you go. What do you think of the dog? And the man said, that dog's not that good. Can't even swim. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? So often we focus on not encouraging or what's not going well or what we don't like, rather than going, you know what? We can encourage and we can look for the good. I hate the fact, and it's a fact, that so many people see the church as looking for the bad things in life and not looking for the good. I don't want our church to be like that. I don't want us to be like that. I don't want to be like that. Now, I'm not saying that we never engage in issues or we don't have problems in relationships. I'm not saying that. That is normal and real. But what is your predisposition? Is it to look for the good and to encourage, or is it to look to say, this should be done better? Or I don't like it, so therefore. I don't know about you. I see enough discouragement in this world. I see enough. Let's call one another to our best in Christ. And we can do it lovingly and respectfully, not in a fluffy sort of way, but a meaningful and a tangible way. We can speak life into others. And I know that might sound a little Pentecostal for some of you. We're speaking life into others, if I say it like that. But I have to tell you, it can change another person's whole demeanor and world around. So, the challenge. This week, because if this is not our normal way of life for you, we need to start somewhere. This week, choose one person from this church. One person and encourage them. Find a meaningful way to do it. You know what I think is a meaningful way of doing it? Not just by sending an email. Find a different way of doing it. Does that up the ante to say I have to do something? Heck yes. Faith is not just a thought, it's action. Now, if you are newer to us here, I understand you may not know too many people from our church, but you do have perhaps a family member. Or a work colleague. Or whatever it might be. Who is the one person? Hopefully you don't have to think too hard. It could be someone in your small group. It could be someone not in your small group. It could be someone from the different service. Who is the one person? The one person that you are going to encourage this week. And in a perfect world, everyone would be encouraged. Can I encourage you, for use of a different word, not to be discouraged if you're not encouraged? Does that make sense? Because at some stage, I pray, you will be. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the encouragement comes for that person at just the right time. And I want to believe that perhaps, that is God in you ministering, parakaleoing somebody else. Amen? Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, this whole one another stuff isn't easy. And even this morning, I see holes in what I've said. But Lord, it doesn't change the reality that you call us to encourage one another because we need it. Lord, at the very deepest level of our lives, the very center of who we are, the greatest encouragement that we can have is that you love us and that nothing can separate us from that love. So look, for the person that needs that encouragement this morning, would you make it real to them now? Would you just make it so real and give them that sense of security in you? For the rest of us, Lord, help us to listen to your Spirit as to who and how we can encourage others. And Lord, help this to become a more natural outworking of your Spirit within us. Amen.